This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Jay Will joins us right now. Jay, I just want to just involve you in this because I know you love these types of discussions. So we were just talking about... What's that?
I was telling Jay Will, put us on speaker so we can
put
tell
us on speaker.
Let him skip the damn line, damn it.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, look, we don't need any aggression here, Bart. Less aggression the better, okay, damn it?
First the DMV, now this. Y'all gonna applaud him when y'all watch him in the morning, but y'all can't let a brother get in front of the line?
What, you want him to cut the line? You want special?
This dude's doing, he's still working. He's technically still on the clock.
But we don't need him to be.
He's doing.
We don't need him to
let
in. We got 20 minutes, then he can go in. 20 minutes.
He's doing his civic duty, and he's trying to work for our show at the same time. Come on, man. Let a brother get in front.
Jay Will.
He'll buy lattes for the all 200 people in front of him. Can get free lattes.
Wait a minute. What?
I don't like that tonality, Bart. I'm trying to diffuse situations over here, okay?
Well, you need to help us because Bart was talking about how he, with the Mets, he'd want to clean house. He's like, I would do that thing like that moving company hunks with junk. And I'm like, what? Like, it sounds like a Chippendales thing. What are you talking about?
You've heard of
Hunks. He's like, no, that's what it's called. It's called hunks with junk. And I was like, no, it's not. People are now sending pictures of college hunks hauling junk, which I think sounds a lot different than what Bart's version was.
And Jay Will, I think in the contract, you have to schedule a time when your husband's at work.
Oh, Bart.
So we're just done with phrasing, right? That's not a thing anymore.
Oh, what? I would be so intrigued to go through what your searches were late night online. I just want to know what Bart Scott pays attention to in the world.
Oh, man, yeah, but you don't want to look through my cookies.
I don't call you Chris Hansen. I call you Chris Handsome.
Right. Oh, God.
I got to clear my cookies out.
Let's get to the point here. You were very passionate this morning on KJZJ about not just the Daniel Jones things we'll get to in a moment, but also the call at the end of the game that pretty much ended the game for the two-point conversion, which the flag was picked up on the pass interference. Bart just explained why the flag was picked up, but you feel like, no, that was a pass interference and the Giants should have had the tie at least playing for overtime.
Well, I mean, look, before I even get into the pass, I get a little bit annoyed because Daniel Jones, if he had thrown the ball, Allen, a second and a half earlier,
yes,
that was an easy two-point conversion, right? Easy. He was late on his throw. He threw to the backside instead of the front side, first and foremost. That leaves me a little bit frustrated, but that's a different conversation. That's on Danny Sense sometimes. I don't call him Danny Dimes. I call him Danny Sense when he throws those passes sometimes. And I love him. I'm not committing Duke on Duke crime yet, but it's getting close to getting there. But I will say, though, Bart, you know football better than I do. I'm just a crazy Giants fan here. But, like, at least Deion, like, I need him to sell that call. It does feel like his body made contact. And what I don't understand is if you throw the flag, how can you be talked out of making the call? Like, if you throw the flag, at least give me, as a crazy person, give me some understanding of why you picked the flag up instead of leaving it up to interpretation, which we all know this. It drives me damn crazy when I don't understand why you are picking the flag up, especially on a critical play like that after that incredible drive that Danny Dimes had throughout that yard drive.
So I'll tell you, the back judge threw the flag. The front judge had the front of view of it, and he overrode him. He said, hey, he did get his head back and look back. He did, you know, he hit him. And the fact that the contact was made was pretty much initiated by Deion Lewis because he had to come back for it. So it's like you're chasing somebody, and they just stop. Of course you're going to run into him. If that's the case, all you would do is run across the field, and when the defender's chasing you, just stop, and he run into you. It's like, see, he ran into me before the pass came here. But he stopped, so that's what happens. And he got his head back, and you can't ask for justice on a legal damn play. Like, it's one of those things. It's like, did Russell get pushed? Did MJ foul Russell by swiping him by? Yes. Do you call it in that instance? No. So what happens is you can't ask for justice on a legal play. That's just like, you know what I'm saying? It was a legal pick play and he fought his way through it. So if you're going to do that, then you got to say, hey, wherever, we're going to let the cars fall where they may, because if he'd have continued running and got led, he would have made the catch and it would have been easy. Wouldn't even been close. So that's on Danny Sense, as you call him.
Danny Sense.
So,
all right.
Danny Sense. Well, this is what I just want to say real quick. Fine. fine that that happened that way. Understandable. Thank you for breaking it down, Bart. But I still get frustrated because we had a 14-6 lead. Yeah. You come out the beginning of the third quarter. Deion Lewis has that great run back. You have great. You're in great field position to strike. And then, like, you know, I hear Joe Judge afterwards. I know you're sticking with Daniel Jones. I know he's the quarterback. I get it. But you say the words. I just keep preaching to him. Be patient. I just want to see Danny be patient in the pocket. And if you don't have a pass, if you feel like you're being pressured, don't throw the ball to the third row, damn it. Throw it out of bounds. Don't try to force a pass and be a hero. Bruce Arians even said, I think Danny Jones is trying to do too much. Less is more.
Well, he knows that because he's watched Jameis Winston, you know, make him pull his hair out. That's why his beard turned all white. He look like Papa Smurf now because Jameis Winston throw for 5,000 yards but 40 turnovers. You can't win that way. Do me one favor, Jay Will, to put me on speaker so I can tell somebody to give you a socially distanced hug because it's been a rough couple of months for you, bro.
Well, I mean, I'm getting close to Jets territory. Everybody keeps saying, well, we're damn near, we're one win away from the Jets to being in the same conversation as the Jets. And I got to tell you this, too. If we happen to get the first or second pick in the draft, if Danny Dimes keeps playing the way like he's playing like Danny Sense, I'm going to start advocating for Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence.
Wow.
I am.
I was going to ask you that. I was going to ask you that. You're the Giants fan. I mean, Daniel Jones' doubt is starting to now creep up within, you know, within the fan base. I felt like this is a season with your new coaching staff that they are not invested in Daniel Jones. It wasn't their pick, wasn't their guy, but still, as a young quarterback, let's see what we got. You kind of want to have an idea by the end of the season because of the quarterbacks are at the top of this draft, and you are in that place, and you're going to have a top five pick if not it's top two or top three to make a decision on that. So if you don't really know yet, and halfway through this season, I don't think you do. If you have the franchise quarterback of the future, instead of using that top three, top five pick for an asset that can continue to build up your roster, you might have to take another quarterback just to make sure you don't pass on one like you did 3 years ago with Saquon.
That's where I go next. Like, where I go next is I sit there and I keep hearing Gettleman talk, and I keep wanting to send Steve Tisch text by saying, look, there's a guy doing Monday Night Football for ESPN. I'm not advocating for one of our own, but I am damn near waiting just to say, Lewis Riddick, please come and run the damn Giants. Run it. Pick a quarterback you like. Let's build out our O-line. We have some good pieces. Let's get Saquon healthy, and let's build the team out the way we should build it out. I mean, think about some of the picks that Gettleman has made. I mean, look at the Baker pick. I mean, that's... I'll leave that alone. There's just a lot of decisions that aren't good decisions.
Listen, yeah. I got a two-part question because, one, I'm going to help you out a little bit because I'll give you – Lewis Riddick, I don't think he'll be the choice because, remember, right, Lewis Riddick may want his own coach. Joe Judge isn't his coach. I think they believe in the coach. So let me help you out because, listen, you break down basketball like I break down football. So let me break it down for you. So what you'll get is if you get a change at general manager, I don't think it's Lewis Riddick. I think it's John Dorsey or Scott Pioli, who comes from the New England Patriot way, who's going to come and be able to work with Joe Judge because they have a history with each other, which that isn't a bad thing, right? Because you look at what the Cleveland Browns looks like, a lot of that talent was brought in by John Dorsey in a short order that he switched that roster around and changed that roster around to a bunch of good players with great moves early on. So I think you get that. You know, secondly, I wanted to ask you, who is the Daniel Jones equivalent in the NBA, whether past or present, that was a guy that we kept giving a pass because he was young and he turned out to mature and he was who we thought he was?
Wow, an NBA equivalent of Daniel Jones. Well, I don't know. I mean,
is it Andrew Wiggins?
No.
Oh, wow.
He hasn't been who we thought he was going to be, and he teases us all the time like Danny Dimes.
But, Bart, this is what happens. Like, I think it becomes a little bit of an indictment on Daniel Jones, but I do believe that, and I heard Mel Kiper say this morning, that Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence are two quarterbacks that there's, I mean, regardless whether it's Sam Darnold or Daniel Jones, that are just in a different class. Just in a different class. So it's like, yes, Wiggins wasn't the answer for Minnesota, but Wiggins this year with Steph and Clay, going to be a different Andrew Wiggins. Like, I do believe there are pieces with Draymond. It's different because you're not asking him to do so much. You're not asking him to be the savior. Whereas I really don't know if there's a basketball comparison because there's so much weight on the quarterback to be that guy that has to lead. Andrew Wiggins is going to thrive because he's not going to be asked to be the breadwinner in that family. That's Stephen Clay. So I don't know if you really find that the same in basketball. Make sense?
I think the problem with that parallel is that Jones was taken maybe higher than most people expected him to go, and there wasn't like a lot of pre-draft hype about him either. You know, Wiggins was the bona fide, this guy's going number one kind of player. Like, there was
so we're talking about your guy, R.J. Barrett, then.
Well, I don't know. We'll see. It's not terrible. Another Duke guy. It's not terrible, but we have to see on that, as you know, with a new coach, new system, and everything else like that. Speaking of NBA, Jay, let me ask you about what maybe you're hearing about this plan, and also what you think of what's going on with the NBA upcoming season, what they're trying to do. As I've talked about, and we've talked about this a number of times, they really want that December 22nd Christmas Day slate, because I do think that ESPN and Turner really want to have that day, because it is a huge day when it comes to audience watching their games Christmas Day. They're talking about the difference in money between starting in December and starting, let's say, MLK Day, which the union is suggesting a lot of the players would rather do. It's always going to be about money, but this time around, it's a lot of money. Do you see it, even though the union isn't comfortable with it, do you see that late December thing happening or not?
You know how I'm starting to feel about it, Alan? So this is like a couple of days ago. You know, like we all do, due to the pandemic, you're just scrolling through the internet, scrolling on IG, scrolling on Twitter, and I saw Kim Kardashian's name trending. I was like, oh, curious. I wouldn't normally click on this, but let me click on it for some mindless content. Click on it, and I see that she's throwing a private birthday party for her 40th on a private island, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah. I see people lambasting her. Like, people are dying. People are losing their jobs at a very hard, like, crazy rate. How could you be splurging so much money? It created this dichotomy between the two worlds that a lot of people, you know, want to live in, and a lot of in the world actually people live in. And I thought to myself while reading all these comments and saying, like, okay, NBA players, I know that you want to wait a couple of weeks. I know it's probably not fair for guys that just played deep and played through a pandemic and played in the bubble and played all the way into October, and now you're only getting a month off of a break, whereas originally you'd be getting three. But you're making $20 million. Like Danny Green, you're making $14.5 million. And I get it, but Alan, you know this, Bart. I mean, it's not as prevalent in football, but you can low manage. Okay, play Christmas Day. Take 2.5. Like, take your time. Ease into it. But for the money at stake, don't ruin this for the next people that are still trying to make that money, the next rookie, the rookies after that, that want to come in and not see the salary cap drastically hit because we decided, hey, we want to take another 3 weeks, 4 weeks in order to play, and we're going to lose out on that amount of money. Don't let that be the narrative moving forward in a time where a lot of companies are laying people off and people are struggling. Just
do you think
it's a bad option.
Do you think that it's once again like what we've seen in past lockout situations, that it's the one percenters that are putting up most of the fight, and the rest of the union membership, of the regular guys, the majority that make league average or minimum, are the ones going, I'll play, but these guys have the bigger profile and bigger voice, the louder voice. So, you know what I mean? Like, do you feel like it's still the majority of players would rather play, but they don't seem to have the same voice that the superstars do?
Well, exactly. And by the way, you know, when these players did a lockout before, that was during regular economic times. Like, we're not in regular economic times. Like, the NBA just spent, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars on creating a bubble.
Yeah.
And now we're going to say, hey, guys, 3 weeks, like, that's going to be our buffer.
Yeah.
Like, it's like Patrick Beverley's like, man, check ball. Check ball, guys.
That's it.
Come on, man. Check ball.
I think they need it.
Patrick Beverley check ball, but for what team? Because he's going to be out ball.
Oh, Chris Paul.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Hey, by the way, on Twitter, Jay Herb points, he offered this parallel, NBA parallel. What about Lonzo Ball, Daniel Jones?
Yep.
Ooh.
A lot of pressure on him.
Zoe comes in, and there, you know, especially with the Lakers, right?
Yep.
And there was a lot going on there, and he just never really, like, he was good but not great, and then became expendable.
Yeah, but I wonder how Lonzo would have done, like, if like LeBron got hurt and he had to do more. Like it is like, and this is where
Saquon was supposed to do the heavy lifting.
I want to put my player cap back on, Bart, and be like, okay, but the O-line's decimated. There's no Saquon Barkley. Second year in a row, he's playing without Saquon Barkley. Am I expecting too much? Like, am I expecting him to be Aaron Rodgers in year two? Maybe I am.
I'm expecting him to be Joe Burrow because Joe Burrow's just doing his thing. I know he's old as hell.
Joe Burrow's older than Jay. Joe Burrow is, seriously.
That's
Hall of Fame.
That's why nobody batted the eye when a dude was in college smoking a cigar out the window. Like, yeah, it's all right, man. He's old as hell. It's okay. He's older than the coach. It's all good. But I tell you what, this is what I want to talk about because, listen, this whole not playing before December, we know this is coming from one man. We know this is coming from LeBron. Why does he have to be such a thirst trap, man? Like, now he's trying to put himself in the same conversation as DK Metcalf. Bro, LeBron, he's not a baby you. He got – his one ab is more big than your entire oblique. Like, come on, man. Like, he's a freak. Aaron Downs a freak. LeBron, you're a basketball freak. It's different. Looking at his body and him next to you, you look like Danny DeVito next to Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like, stop it.
What did LeBron say with DK Metcalf? I didn't see that.
He's trying to sun him, calling him Baby Bron and reaching out, we built different, bro. No, he's built different. He's built like something I've never seen before.
He injects himself. What Bart can't stand is that he constantly injects himself into the conversation. Like when the Dodgers won the World Series, he became like, let's have a parade. Like, it's sort of like reminding everybody, hey, don't forget about us.
Let him shine. Oh, I'm the freak, too. No, he's a different type of freak. Him and Aaron Donald built totally different.
Very upset about this, Jay.
I do want to remind you guys both of this, and Alan, you will find appreciation in this because there's not too many times we find ourselves on this end of media coming to his defense. Kyrie Irving made one of the biggest shots in Cleveland Cavalier history.
That's
and LeBron James always referred to him as a kid.
Yep.
As a kid.
Yeah.
And I think you start to see examples a little bit of ego and how that ego can affect your perception sometimes. And this comes from colleagues too. Like, I've heard people like things a little bit about this around when they were in the bubble and the meeting happened and LeBron James walked out. That is a little bit of the aura that comes along with being with LeBron. It's just sometimes I think we forget because we get lost in a lot of the highlights to recognize some of these subtle nuances that can rub people the wrong way.
That's a great reference, by the way. That is never, ever brought up. Everybody talks about the chase down block, and I've said forever. And you know, I have my issues with Kyrie, but I'll never take that away from him. That's the biggest shot in Cleveland sports history, period. Like, that is the biggest shot. He doesn't make that shot. LeBron's not a champion. Like it's just like, and they never acknowledge it. Never. The highlights that they show is the block. And then they went on to win the championship. Like, dude, they were losing the game when he made that block. Like, you had to still make the shot. Big shot. You're 100% right, and he never gives him the credit for it.
I know we got to let J. Will go, but listen, I forgot to ask you last time you were on the show. Alan really wants some Air Flat Kyrie's.
Oh, speaking of Kyrie.
He wants some Air Flat Kyrie's, man. Can you make that happen for him? He wants some Air Flat Kyrie's.
You saw the ones that were, right? Are they the sevens that were out last week?
The Air Flat Kyrie's.
Those are tough. Yeah, those are tough, though, Alan. Those are really tough, man.
And they're orange. And why are they orange and blue?
We talked about that. He trolled in the Knicks, but we renamed them. We call them the Air Flat Kyrie's.
I don't care what they're called. I want a pair.
I want a pair too.
That's why I was asking for a friend.
And I'll be rocking that same color scheme courtside at a Brooklyn Nets game next year when fans are allowed to go back to the game.
You better be in the ESPN suite with me for a game.
I tell both of y'all this. I got the Amazon company, right? So I might just lose a package if they come through, man. Hook both of y'all up, man. Don't tell nobody.
If he just sees it. Oops. Insurance.
Whoopsies.
Jay.
Bezos, I don't know what happened to him.
How bad is
Come on, put a mask on. Don't come over here. Put a mask on, bro. We good.
How bad is the line now? Are you getting close?
Man, I'm a mile deep, man. Don't get me started out. I need to take a breath with the mask on.
Bro,
we're all going to go through it.
You don't understand. This is what you got to do. Let me tell you how to get to the front of the line.
Oh, no.
Go get some coffee. Get out of the line. Go get some coffee. Walk all the way up to the front like you were going to get coffee for that person and just say, hey, man, this is a white chocolate mocha latte for you. Just say I was with you and I walked out to go get his coffee. And you good. Come on, man. Alan, you got to use your bro card. You know you used to do that.
Habitual
skipping a
line. Stepper.
It didn't work for me at the DMV, Bart. It's not going to work for me here.
I'm telling you. You just say, yeah, you was in line. You stepped out, and you went and got coffee, and this person moved all the way to the top. Listen, tell them I'm Jay Will.
This is what we have to do. We have to endure this. This is what we have to through. And we'll do
every
it
day.
Because
See,
we
man,
have to.
You
civic
forget,
duty,
you,
and we move on.
You, Jay Will, because you're from here, right? What part of the city are you from? Because I know some OGs
Jersey,
that
man.
Always say you grew up. No, what part
I'm
of Jersey?
I'm from Jersey.
No.
I live in the
part.
City pretty much my whole life.
No, the part. Like, Piscataquis, people know you. That people I know people that know you. Like, when before you were Jay Will, you know what I'm saying, the all-star. Was it like Piscataway? Where's it from?
Yeah, Plainfield, New Jersey.
Yeah, Plainfield, right. So my boy live in Plainfield, so that's what I'm saying. You need to pull your Plainfield out and go on up there and get to the front of the line and say, listen, guess what? Game blouse is check.
Bart's
you know what I'm saying?
Send some of the Jersey Mafia.
Are you going to tell me that I wasn't in line with this dude? I just went and got coffee with him.
I'm the only black person out here. I can't get to Plainfield. Okay?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
That's what we're going to see. We're going to see three big dudes just walk up going, hey, this is Mr. Williams' spot.
Yeah, Karen waiting for you too. Mm-mm.
Oh, God.
I got him. I took a picture when he came. He came by himself.
Clown. I'll talk to you guys later.
We'll let you go, man.
All right,
appreciate
Brody.
You.
Habitual line stepper, baby.
Big day today, of course, and for your election and your choices and the endurance of long lines and anything else that you might have to deal with. But it is part of what we are all feeling like is our civic duty right now, and we'll see where we go from here. Also today, NFL trade deadline, 4:00. It's been relatively quiet, but there are still some names locally on the local teams, New York teams, that could be on the move. Bart, do you expect, you called the Avery Williamson one.
Yeah.
Are there any other names you could see the Giants or Jets moving or anything you might have heard that could go down before 4:00?
I would think maybe Golden Tate to Green Bay. Tough
Interesting.
Receiver that can play in tough weather, that can win. You already have Lazard and you have, he could be their Randall Cobb, their slot guy that can get open. He's tough. He's kind of like a poor man, Steve Smith. Anquan Boldin, a guy that can win those 50-50 balls for you. You saw him yesterday be able to high point the ball, keep both feet in. If they can't get Will Fuller, who's on the block as well, so that he'd be a good consolation prize because, you realize that, you have 1 or 2 years to win with this team and when you have to let, Aaron Rodgers go. Maybe not next year, the year after. There's no way you can have a first-round draft pick and let him sit on the bench for 3 years. So you say, okay, well, if they win this year, maybe they move on or they try and go for 2 years in a row. Guy like Golden Tate could put him over the top.
Okay, I'll keep an eye on this again. 4:00.
Sorry, defense though. They need some help at linebacker too. So they could have had Avery Williams. Yeah, they get the ball ran down their throat left and right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, Keisha will have all the coverage of this, of course. So you stay tuned here on 98.7 ESPN. We'll get back to the calls, but let's get to audio files.
The audio file.
So we'll stay in the football realm, and we'll stay local as well. As I mentioned, Sam Darnold getting a second check on that shoulder after he got banged around in the game last week. MRI said he's still going to play. He's good to go. He doesn't want to sit out any more games. So Sam does his usual spot on the Michael Kay Show. Well, he was asked by the guys about people, just not only Daniel Jones, but people are questioning Sam Darnold and how good he is, and here was Sam's response.
I mean, honestly, guys, I don't really care what anyone else says. I'm just going to continue to do my job every single day and do it to the best of my ability. That's all I know how to do, and whatever anyone else says, I'm just going to continue to do my job and control what I can and, continue to try to lead this team and get a win. That's all I really care about.
If you think about it, what's going through his mind? What's going through everything that he's experiencing, right? Going all the way back to college when he was a very hot commodity as a quarterback. Coming out of college at USC, taking three, going to New York, going to the Jets, becoming the savior. Fans are, I was so excited about this. And really, what has gone on since then? A coaching change, injuries, mono. I mean, all the stuff that he has gone through, he's still trying to figure it out. And you keep reminding us all, he's 23 years old. It's a lot. It's a lot for a young guy to deal with and process, especially in a market like this. And on a team that is 0-8. With a head coach that people feel like is it now he's a lame duck, that there's no way he's coming back after this season. Adam Gase now basically just overseeing. He's not even play calling anymore. He's overseeing a team that hasn't had a win yet this year, right before a trade deadline where they already are moving off some pieces. But Gase said that despite all that, he's not giving up.
Yeah, I mean, I never look at you know, waving the white flag. It's not something that's not in my DNA. You know, sometimes opportunity. This is our profession. This is when things like this happen. This is like, guys aren't ever going to be shocked by this. Like, we're in the profession of, you know, we got to win games. When we don't, then things change, and younger guys get opportunities to play. I mean, that's what the NFL is. This is not unique.
Yeah, and other guys get opportunity to coach too. So let's not just put it on the players. Like, other guys get the chance to play, young guys, and coaches get a chance to go watch from home and give other people opportunities. So let's not remove yourself from the same situation that these players are in. These players are playing, and young guys get an opportunity to see if they can play in this league. Other guys are starting to get an opportunity to coach to see if they can coach in this league. Loggins get an opportunity to see if he can be a coordinator and be able to call the plays, not just coordinator by name, and trying to see if it's you or if it was them. So, you know, understood that the decision may be already made on you, the fact that they're not allowing you to do what you're brought here to do. And the players have to recognize that, hey, they have opportunity because they got rid of some of these guys. Who's ever backing up Avery Williams, whoever's replacing Steve McClendon, who's ever replacing Le'Veon Bell, these are opportunities for you to say, hey, I can play in this league. And you have to take advantage of those opportunities because they come far and few between. And the lower you are on the totem pole as far as draft pick, as far as salary, the less opportunities you get to make a great first impression.
Let me go back to Sam here real quick, though, Bart. Do you think for him, and you heard him say, I'm just trying to win a game. I'm just trying to win a football game. Do you think, even though he'd never admit it publicly, that there's something in the back of his mind that is saying to himself, I got to win a couple of games here so we're not with the number one pick and they're not forced to make that decision?
Yeah,
that's exactly. I've got to do this. This is like almost like career preservation for him right now. If I win a couple of games late this year, that'll remove that distraction and I can at least feel more secure in my job. Because if we go in 0-16, I'm 23 years old and I might not be the starting quarterback next year.
Kyler Murray. Yeah. Messed up the model, right? So what the model was that you had a layer of protection when you were a younger guy and you were the, you know, top 10 pick. You had protection. But when Kyler Murray came in, it took away the protection for Josh Rosen. And Josh Rosen still hasn't had an opportunity to even prove that he can play in this league anywhere.
Isn't he on the practice squad right now in Tampa?
Or Chicago, somewhere. Yeah, Tampa.
Where is he?
And then also, you hear Haskins as well. So now the model has changed. The mold has changed. The business model has changed because Arizona's had success. So they recognize early, is this a quarterback that you want to try and win with? So Sam Darnold doesn't have the protection that he had before. There's no way you would ever consider a guy that's 23 that was a top 10 pick being cut or being moved or somebody moving on from him in 3 years of his career. But now the model says that, hey, you recognize that he's not the guy. Maybe he is the guy. He may not just be the guy for you. Go get your guy. And whoever that coach is next year that's going to be coaching for the Jets may or may not want Sam as his guy. So Sam's got to put as much good tape on film and show his toughness, his grittiness, what type of leader he is and all that stuff, because he's auditioning for another coach.
Could be, yeah, especially for, right, whether it's the next coach here or somewhere else. All right, meanwhile, on the other side of the New York football story is Daniel Jones. And we started off the show because a lot of fans and some media have Daniel Jones doubt. The Giants say they don't, but there's a lot of doubt after last night's performance, halfway through his second season, of wondering whether or not he's the guy. And if the Giants are high enough to take a quarterback, whether Trevor Lawrence or Fields or Mac Jones, whoever it is, somebody's there. Do they take this? Do you move on? So that's the question. Mel Kiper, who loved Daniel Jones from the very beginning, was on KJZ, and he had this to say about Daniel Jones.
Let's lay off Daniel Jones. Let's say he showed on the big stage last night in a key situation that he had some metal in that final drive. Now that last throw, in my opinion, that's pass interference. You throw the flag, it's pass interference. Simultaneous didn't look simultaneous to me. That was their reason for changing it. If their reason is it's simultaneous, they're wrong. It should have been a flag. Daniel Jones is learning. He's 20 starts into his career, guys. He's not 65 starts in. Yeah, Peyton Manning had 23 interceptions his fourth year in the league. He had 100 interceptions his first 5 years. He had 53 the 5 years after that. He's learning. And those are learning teaching. People said, well, when's he going to stop making those mistakes? Well, he's only in a year and a half into his career, okay? Josh Allen in year two was making mistakes just like that. In year three, he's not making any of those mistakes.
No,
let's give these young quarterbacks a little time, okay?
All right, so there's Kiper's take. Hang on, there's Kiper's take. And now Here's Mike Tannenbaum from the executive position, from the executive take. He was on DCR, and he had this to say about Daniel Jones.
Yeah, and I you know, look, and I've been criticized, and I would say somewhat fairly, for being too patient in the past. But look, I've learned from what the Arizona Cardinals did, right? They drafted Steve Wilks, who was their head coach. They drafted Josh Rosen. Top 10 picks, it's Wilkes and Rosen for the next 10 years, and that lasted about 10 minutes. And there's four quarterbacks that I think we should have an interesting discussion about. Baker Mayfield, Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold, and Dwayne Haskins. Those four young quarterbacks were already drafted by a different head coach. I think that changes the paradigm. I think that changes how they're measured, and I think ultimately it changes their job security. So I'm not saying it's necessarily over. I don't want to overreact, but what I am saying is that Joe Judge is sitting there with a different lens than it would have been if he had drafted him.
So he's saying move on, and Mel Kiper's saying give this guy some time. That's somewhere in between is the right answer.
Because, man, Mel Kiper is a – listen, first of all, you want to talk about him. He made enough throws in that last drive to win. He didn't make the throw to send it to overtime. Because if he puts that ball where it's supposed to go, it's a walk-in touchdown. It's no way we even sitting here discussing the fact that it was pass interference, simultaneous contact. Because he put it out in front, the guy had won his battle. The guy had did his part. And Daniel Jones didn't do his part. So it's different because now we see Herbert come in and he looks better than Danny Dimes. We see Burrow come in. He looks better than Danny Dimes. And they came in worse situations than Daniel Jones came into.
All right,
so
that's
you have to ask the question.
I think it's fair to at least ask the question, and that's where we are right now, halfway through the season. All right, that's Audio Files. Great job, Bart, as always. Thank you, Anthony. Thank you, J-Dub. 800-919-3776 is the number. So no lunch money, no games tonight. However, of course, there's a lot going on today. There's a lot to look forward to with the trade deadline. And, of course, we have our own election going on with the four teams that are remaining that won the primaries yesterday for the team that we will open tomorrow's show with. So we'll tell you the latest on what the results are, how you can vote, because you can control tomorrow's show. And I know Tim McCarthy loves this idea. I know he loves the fact that we're letting the listeners decide who we open the show with. And he's probably voting as many times as he can to make sure it's not hockey. 800-919.
Well, if it's hockey, damn it, it's going to be hockey.
That's right.
Because if you want to vote, you want your vote to count, then you go vote. And we're going to honor that vote.
And that's what today is all about. The Michael K. Show is giving you stuff. Michael K. Show has a 20 and 20 contest, and it continues today at 3 o'clock, of course. So, as you always listen to the show anyway, stay tuned. Lock it in for 20 great prizes over 20 days to make your home life a little more enjoyable. For today, it's not just Election Day, Bart. You know what else it is today? It's National Sandwich Day.
What?
National Sandwich Day. Yeah.
Is it hoagie sandwiches?
Well, no. It's like a sandwich. I imagine it's just press.
Just Google it.
What's your favorite sandwich? Like, what's your go-to? Like, if you're hungry and you want to make a sandwich, what do you do?
I'm a Reuben guy.
Oh,
so
yeah?
I like Reuben. So I'll take pastrami or corned beef and make me
like
a Reuben
that.
With some in Michigan, we don't use all these whack rye bread. We use onion rolls.
Oh.
And then we butter the onion roll, bam, put it on there, wrap it around with Swiss cheese. And then we take sauerkraut, throw it on there, bam. Then you take some. Then you take Thousand Island dressing, bam. Then you take some spicy deli mustard, put it down there, bite, scrumptious.
Put some chips in there. You put some potato chips, crunchy.
Well, you got to have some pickles.
Oh, absolutely.
You gotta have
now, what do you do? Are you a dill guy?
I like a little bite to it. I like a little zestiness to it. You know what I mean? So I don't like the straight dill that takes like it's too close to the cucumber. Mm-hmm. I like the one that's been pickled extensively.
Extensively pickled.
Yeah, but some pickles don't have that. Haven't been sitting in the vinegar long enough to turn into that deep green. It turns it to, and I need some like zesty.
Yeah,
stuff
that's the organic pickles. It's almost like a cucumber sitting in.
Yeah,
vinegar.
Yeah. That's wacky. I need full on zesty.
See, I was like, I'm such a basic, boring person. To me, a really good PB&J, like if you get the right bread and crunchy peanut butter and the right jelly, you know, like jam.
Yeah, see, but that was just dinner for me too often. That was dinner for me when I was growing up. You know what I'm saying? So it's like one of those things. Like that's why I don't understand how the hell
I didn't know any better. We had eggs all the time.
Yeah, I don't understand how that dude eat bologna sandwiches, man. Like, bro, I never want to eat a piece of bologna again in my life. I was tired of having to fry the bologna with the red wax around it, and it pop up. You got to cut the top off so you can smash it down. You put the Kraft cheese. You know what was crazy? I didn't know until my wife told me until I was like 23 that Kraft cheese wasn't real cheese. It's, and then she's like, dummy, go grab the package. Look on the bottom of it. It says cheese product. I was basically eating a slice of cheese whiz.
Yeah.
I didn't know the greatness of Gouda.
You didn't know that?
I didn't know the greatness of
Gouda.
It's
so creamy, though. It's like,
no, I didn't know the greatness of Gouda. Swiss. Pepper jack. Mustard.
Anyway.
I thought it was damn Velveeta cheese. I was eating a slice press of Velveeta paper.
Well, I'll tell you what. Because it's National Sandwich Day, the K-Show is giving away a Weber charcoal smoker. How about that? You got to love those things. So it's the 2020 contest brought to you by PC Richard and Son, Kansas City Steak, the Partisan Premiums Cocktails on Demand, and 98.7 ESPN. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Before we go, let's take a couple of quick calls here. Ryan in Brooklyn on the Giants in that pass interference. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Love the show. I just had to say, I agree with you on a lot of your sports takes. And I also understand the fact that Giants fans, as Giants fan myself, should not be complaining about that goal line play. Not only was that not pass interference or shouldn't have been called, in my opinion, but Daniel Jones was 4 seconds late on the throw. I mean, the guy with Deion Lewis was wide open for 4 seconds and Daniel Jones missed it.
Yep.
But I can't sit here and listen to this saying that Mike Evans calling the end zone on James Bradbury wasn't blasphemy. I mean, that was ridiculous.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is one is like the last play of the game, man. One way or another. So like referees want to take themselves out of that type of call. Like, you know, when it comes down, you say, did this call win or lose the game? Referees don't want to be a part of that. It's different if the call took place in the middle of the game. Everybody understands it's a bad call, good call. They have to live with it. But a call at the end of the game, the last play to determine the game, referees don't want to be a part of that. They want to say, hey, man, listen, you want to do a legal play, put the ball where it's supposed to be, they would call it a touchdown. They wouldn't have called it a pick. If he'd have called it, they wouldn't have called it a pick, even though we know it's a legal play. We wouldn't have called it. And then Tampa would have been, that's a legal play. Well,
yeah.
Guess what? It ain't going to get called. So play through it. Or have some communication where somebody from the other side can pick them up. But you're not going to sit up and complain to the ref about, oh, it's a legal pick play. No, that's what it is. Deal with it.
Well, it's still it's officiating. It's part of the game, and you know it's the loser's lament when the call certainly doesn't go your way. All right, again, like we said, 4 o'clock is the trade deadline. We'll see if any moves are made or any more moves are made by the local teams. But Bart and I both know this is also a very important day in the country. It is election day, and both of us going to head out now and do our due diligence. I know I will, Bart. I think you did through the mail.
Yeah.
But everybody out there, be safe.
Y'all need me. I'm important. I'm a
we'll
Michigan
see you
voter. Ah. Good luck, Jay Will.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.